This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Your Radio Doctor and their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Your Radio Doctor does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, products, physicians, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on Your Radio Doctor. Always consult your own physician. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's time for the Delaware Valley's first radio doctor. On call every Saturday afternoon at 5. This is Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
Listen, 7 months or 10 months is an absolutely exceptionally short time frame to produce this vaccine.
Your health determines your life, your longevity, and your happiness. Let your radio doctor lead the way with your medical education. Your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Your Radio Doctor. I'm your host, Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Well, I hope you all enjoyed a wonderful July 4th holiday and celebration of our independence. Personally, I think the entire month should be dedicated to celebrating our nation and showing our patriotism. So I've decided to focus this week on a beautiful story about the Marines in general and one very dedicated Marine in specific. Now, as you travel through our city, especially old Philadelphia, you'll often see signs that mark a site with historical significance. There's a sign on Front Street near Sansom Walk that says Tun Tavern. And our National Park Service rangers explained that one of the most frequently asked questions is, where is Tun Tavern? Well, joining us today is Pat Daly, a Marine himself and founder and president of the Tun Tavern Legacy Foundation. And this is a fantastic project that aims to rebuild this famous landmark, the birthplace of the Marines, soon after the birthplace of the U.S. Navy, and a very important meeting place for several other nonprofit organizations from the colonial era that still exist today. Welcome, Pat.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Pat, if you would, you explained this all so beautifully and historically as though you've lived it. Well, you are a Marine, but what is Tun Tavern and what's the significance of it?
It was actually a revelation to me when I started researching this tavern. You know, it's all Marines think that Marines are the only reason Tun Tavern is famous, and nothing could be further from the truth. When I started to do some research, I learned that Tun Tavern was one of the first three taverns registered in Philadelphia, sort of a we call microbrewery at this point. They don't really number them, but there were three registered in 1693, and Tun Tavern was one of them. So there was a gentleman by the name of Samuel Carpenter. He was a Quaker, and he was a sugar merchant in Barbados. Barbados has excellent soil and conditions for sugarcane, maybe the best in the world. So sugarcane just leaps out of the ground down there. And the Europeans had a taste for sugar. They had developed a taste for sugar, and it was far better than the sugar they were getting from Africa, the sugarcane. So it was sort of a strategically important island for Britain to hang on to. Despite France and Spain grabbing other islands, Barbados was something the British really wanted to protect and maintain. So they had a garrison of troops there, sort of like a National Guard, and that was augmented by a local militia. Now remember, Mr. Carpenter was a Quaker, and so he would not allow his workers to be part of that militia. And because that's the Quaker religion prohibits, you know, military service. So he essentially was ostracized from the community. actually burned his warehouses a couple times in anger over the years. He was there for about 10 years. They would fine him in tons of sugar. And when the latest fine came to something like almost 6,700 tons of sugar, he said, you know what? Yeah, exactly. That's a lot of money. But, you know, sugar was sort of the oil of its day back in the 1600s. So he said to the local officials at Barbados, why don't I just cash out and leave? Would that be better? And they said, absolutely. So he cashed out, took all his gold, which was, I think by calculations I've read, something in the order of $14 billion in today's currency. So he was quite the wealthy man. Took all his money and left Barbados and sailed to Philadelphia because he had heard about this new settlement by another Quaker, William Penn. William Penn had landed in Philadelphia approximately a year before. He landed in Chester, and he said to the English living in Chester, I'm your new governor. And they said, Penn, the Quaker, right? You're not our governor. Keep moving. So he got back on his boat and sailed further up the Delaware and saw a nice bluff overlooking where the river took a pretty sharp turn, and the river had sort of carved out the hillside and created this 40, 50-foot cliff. And he said, I'll put my city up there. So up there is Front Street. That's why Interstate 95 sort of feels as though you're going under Philadelphia when, in fact, you're going down to the riverbed where 95 is now. And that is where the first buildings were built in Philadelphia. It's called Water Street. Back at the time, it was called King Street. You named every first street for the king. And during the Revolution, they decided that there were no more kings here, so they called it Water Street. But Tun Tavern was one of the first three brew pubs built. Excuse me. And Samuel Carpenter was very successful as an agricultural merchant, but when he got here, he realized this new settlement was a logistical nightmare. So the first thing he did was invest in the infrastructure. And one of those things was to build a pier out into the Delaware. So you didn't have to row your small boat out to a ship waiting in the Delaware. And apparently there were 12 to 20 ships, you know, waiting in the Delaware to be unloaded any day of the week. He built a pier with a crane on it, and ships could tie up to his pier, unload. And while they're being unloaded, the captain and some of the crew, I guess, could walk down the pier and into Tun Tavern. And his brother was a master brewer, so it was sort of the perfect storm. His brother brewed really good beer and actually became wealthy doing it. And Samuel ran the operations, the logistics operations. He had warehouses on the pier and Tun Tavern at the end of the pier. You could sleep on the top floor of Tun Tavern. It was really almost the Ellis Island of its day. A lot of immigrants, was the first pier into the Delaware, so a lot of immigrants offloaded there. And Tun Tavern was sort of a clearinghouse unofficially for where they would set foot in America.
Well, that's what I was picturing when you said that when Samuel Carpenter came to Philadelphia, he heard of Billy Penn. I thought Billy Penn was probably standing on top of City Hall being Philadelphia Statue of Liberty saying, come on in! And he was up and Samuel and then his brother Joshua. What did that original tavern seem to look like? We don't know because it was built in the late 1600s and it was raised
1693.
In about 1781. It was
1781.
Flattened. Mm-hmm. What do you think the original one looked like?
There are circumstantial records that show, because we know Samuel Carpenter's house was essentially next door. And there was a letter written by a gentleman who also was a banker, as they called the people that owned the land right on the bank of the river. Not financial bankers, but bankers in the sense of a riverbank. And to buy that, to buy the riverbank land, you had to be a substantial investor in Pennsylvania. That's why when Mr. Carpenter showed up with all this cash, William Penn had all this land and no money, and he was tasked with creating a colony. He desperately needed cash. He was on the verge of bankruptcy. Carpenter came in and bought huge tracts of Pennsylvania. One of them, actually, where I have been working for the last 25 years, in a town called Horsham. Horsham is named for Carpenter's birthplace.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So and he built a number of Quaker meeting houses. So anyway, what was your question? What did it look like? So we think it,
well, just it what it looked like. Brick. I think I like 100 people.
And we think it was brick because there are records. There's a letter, as I said, talking about Samuel Carpenter has built a lime burner for which he's using to construct his house in an adjacent structure, which we think is Tun Tavern. We're pretty sure the warehouse buildings on the pier were of wood. They didn't seem to last all that long, but I'm pretty confident that Tun Tavern was made of brick because a lime burner is what you use to make bricks. And apparently the soil in Philadelphia is very suited for making very high-quality bricks, oddly enough. So that's why there were so many bricks in the old buildings in Philadelphia. It was quite the industry here for a very long
time. Well, and the old-fashioned buildings with all those bricks that were handmade and all irregular is the charm of old Philadelphia.
Right.
I love driving through old Philadelphia and seeing those buildings. So the original tavern, it's pretty cool the way you describe it. You could rent a room upstairs if you were out, you know, coming to port and dropping off cargo, etc., and four sailors to a bed. That's quite a bed and breakfast, huh? And then the ground floor, the first floor, was for entertainment and dining, and the basement was where the staff lived. It's pretty ingenious the way they put that together. But so maybe the tavern would seat about 100 people, would you guess?
100's probably generous. I don't think it was that many. I think it was probably, well, you know, they didn't really care at that point. There was no OSHA regulations or anything like that, but I'm guessing you'd probably be able to get 80, maybe 70 people in there. You know, it was about 50 feet wide by 30 feet deep, as best we can tell.
But I think it was interesting, too, that you said the original name was Peg Mullins Beefsteak Club, because in London, there were private beefsteak clubs where, I guess, the wealthy could go and really dine beautifully on a lot of beef and wine, and that was the imitation here.
Well, that came later.
Thomas Mullen in the 1740s.
Right, so that there were a number
after his wife, you thought was probably a pretty good cook.
There were a number of proprietors for Tun Tavern after the Carpenter family. You know, Joshua Carpenter moved on to brewing beer and not running a tavern, so he leased it to other people. So the tavern was owned by different, like today, you know, someone can own a building and someone would lease that building for them for their personal business. So by the time the 1740s rolled around, the Mullen family was running it, and Mr. Mullen's second wife, Peg Mullen, decided that beefsteak clubs were all the rage in London for the wealthy set, and Philadelphia needed a beefsteak club, so she was quite the cook. Tun Tavern's best years were when it was run by women, actually. There was another woman running it before Peg Mullen.
There you go.
It's golden years from 1720 to 1750.
It was only a mile from Independence Hall, so it was very popular with the Continental Congress. So, birthplace of the Marines, sometime later, pretty shortly soon after, John Adams went upstairs and drafted a plan for what became the U.S. Navy. But the distinction was Philadelphia was the only place where Marines could sign up. But for the Navy, you had your choice of New York, Charleston, Boston, Philly. So that's why it's so special to the Marines, yes?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, Navy ships were metered out to each of the colonies, particularly the colonies with shipbuilding expertise. So that's why each colony was tasked with building at least one frigate. And, of course, the sailors would probably come from that area. They needed to man it. But Marines, there was a Philadelphian tasked with raising two battalions of Marines, roughly in those days about 300 Marines. And the Marines' job, there was a couple of jobs. They would act as gunners or assistant gunners on the ships. They would act as sharpshooters in the rigging. And, you know, the sailors back in the 1700s were not the sailors of today. Basically, it was sort of an unskilled job, some people running from the law. And now piracy was very common back then. It was actually legal in some aspects. So you're furnishing them with a gunboat, and so you need something between the sailors and the officers, and they were the Marines.
I'm about to practice saying arg. Well, we're going to learn too that four organizations that are helping with this project. The Freemasons, founded in 1731. St. Andrew Society, 1747. Also Society of St. George from 1747. And the Friendly Sons and Daughters of St. Patrick from 1771 used to meet there. So let's take a break, and when we come back, more about the six partners in this great program.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, exclusively presented by Independence Blue Cross. If you have a question for the medical mailbag, just send a note to doctor@yourradiodoctor.net.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
And welcome back to Your Radio Doctor. We're here with Pat Daly, a Marine who's the founder and president of the Ton Tavern Legacy Foundation. Pat, we're talking about some incredible history. Philadelphia is so rich in history, and we all should take a walk through Old Philadelphia and see the sites you're describing. If people were to walk through Philadelphia, they would see Ton Tavern, the historical marker at Front Street near Sansom Walk. And you mentioned that back in the colonial days, there were steps from the river to get up into the city that was up on a hill of sorts. So where would the original Ton Tavern have existed, do you think? Where would we think of it now?
We know the original Ton Tavern was between Chestnut and Walnut Street on Water Street, which is covered by 95, more toward Walnut than Chestnut. And you get a sense of this hill, certainly if you're on 95 and you go under those, well, they just removed those overpasses, but you can sort of see how big that concrete wall is. But if you're on Front Street and you go up to Spring Garden Street, or if you're on Spring Garden and you get to Front Street, you sort of drive down a slope down to Delaware Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of the original slope that, you know, over time they kept chewing away at the slope to make it navigable, I suppose. But there, and William Penn stipulated that there had to be steps at the end of every street so that every Philadelphian could access the river. And only one of those sets of steps remain to this day. They're called the Wood Street steps. They're hidden. They're right along what remains of Water Street, and where Wood Street meets Water Street. There are 12 or 15 granite steps that colonials could have used to go down to the river. And there's old photos from the early 1900s, late 1800s of people using those steps. Same steps. Stone doesn't wear out. But all the other steps were removed when, I guess, in the early 1960s when Interstate 95 was put through.
So that recent, that's terrific. And the way you explain it makes so much sense. As, you know, even when I drive through the city, I look at it a lot differently now. So the Marine Corps birthday is November 10. Where is it celebrated now? Because that's the beauty of your story. You celebrate it. You're a proud Marine, as you should be. And thank you many times over for serving. The bravery that it takes to sign a dotted line and say, I will walk through fire for my countrymen, is pretty outstanding. So the Marine Corps birthday is celebrated now in South Philly. Tell us a little bit about that and how the light went on in your head about 15 years ago.
Right. I mean, every November 10th, and this is one of the things that helps actually helps with the marketing of Ton Tavern, especially the Resurrectors Ton Tavern. Every Marine knows Ton Tavern, Philadelphia, November 10th, 1775. It's drilled in your head, and every year on every Marine Corps installation worldwide, it's the biggest event of the year. It's prom night every November 10th. And there are ones in their dress blues. Ladies put on their best gowns. It's very formal. The cake is cut with an officer's sword and a staff NCO's sword. And it's very ritualistic and all this pomp and circumstance. And it's quite entertaining to go to one. But so every installation has a Marine Corps birthday. Of course, when you get out of the Marine Corps, you don't forget November 10th. And there was a gentleman who owned a bar in South Philadelphia on Oregon Avenue at 10th and Oregon. His name was James Wagner. He was a Vietnam veteran, and he was sort of annoyed that there was no celebration in Philadelphia where the Marines were born, no celebration annually. He owned this bar, and he would invite his Marine Corps friends to come and celebrate their birthday with him on November 10th. As Marines will do, they invite other Marines. By the time I started going, you know, 20 years ago or so, there was 5,000 Marines on Oregon Avenue, and the police would have to shut it down for three blocks. A giant block party of just Marines just coming back, and this tavern there, it's, you know, it's at the end of a bunch of row homes. It's a little 11-chair, sticky floor, hole-in-the-wall bar. But it's where Marines would come back to every November 10th, rain or shine. And
that's what makes it special.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you'd meet guys from all over the country coming here for that. And I thought, this is crazy. If all these guys are coming here for this little bar, they can't even get in because it's so tiny. What would they do if Tun Tavern was here? And what good could we do with the kind of money Tavern would raise?
Well, you say, too, the pomp and circumstance is entertaining, but it's also inspirational. You are united by Semper Fi, by the motto, try harder. You've climbed a lot of mountains just to get where you are in the Marines. And 15 years ago, you're standing in the rain, eating cake, drinking beer with hundreds of brothers and sisters, Marines. And I love that you say that as Marines, we're irrationally proud because you're the only service that knows the date and the place where you started. But you should be proud.
Yeah.
The whole picture, the more I hear about it, the more I wish I had time to go back and say, could I be a Marine or, I don't know, stuff envelopes or something for you. But to be part of such a magnificent group of people is indescribable, especially for somebody who hasn't experienced it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Marines are the smallest of the four, or actually five, services now. So, you know, manpower-wise, it's quite small. So it's we always joke like everyone kind of knows each other, or you know somebody who knows somebody that you know, especially in those that time that you served. And that's very true. You keep running into the same, you know, people all the time. So
the few, the proud, right?
Yeah.
So take us back, Pat, if you would, 9 years ago. You had the idea 15 years ago, and you let it simmer, and about 9 years ago, you started doing research on Tun Tavern, and you prepared a business plan, and I guess it dawned on you that if there were six partners, we might say, Marines, Navy men and women, and the four nonprofit organizations we mentioned that are Freemasons, and the Society of St. George, Society of St. Andrew, or St. George Society, I should say, and Friendly Sons and Daughters of St. Patrick. If everybody comes together, businessmen from these groups, and you've already purchased a property, right? And where's that located?
Yes. It's on South 2nd Street, just below Market.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty empty now, isn't it? A parking lot? So
it's a parking lot, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you need to raise enough money for construction. And what will that look like? I understand it's going to be two different eating areas. I want you to explain that. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, so the the purchase of the land was a little over $4 million, mm-hmm. but we did raise or borrow enough to do that. So we do own the land, and that's the first time that has happened in the five attempts to build this tavern in the last 100 years. Mm. So we have been successful in that regard. That's really big in achieving a milestone. So we build the tavern, and the tavern itself, you'll be able to eat there. But it's primarily a tavern to hoist a beer with friends and take in the ambiance of what we believe will be an 18th century mariner's tavern. Certainly each of those six organizations will feel a heritage there. There'll be something there that they can all relate to, and they'll be represented there. It's not a Marine Corps museum. But behind it, in keeping with the history of this tavern, when it was also known as Peg Mullins Beefsteak Club, we will have a 175-seat steakhouse, essentially. And that'll be connected to the tavern by a small atrium sort of museum where we'll put artifacts that people have donated and we've been able to garner over the years that have a have a history with the tavern or the colonial period of the time.
So the tavern will be decor that's period, that's colonial in nature, and then the beefsteak
yes.
house will be a bigger area connected by, like as you said, a walkway that will have some artifacts, but there is already, as you said, a beautiful marine museum in Quantico. No need to
yes.
replicate that. So $16 million is probably your goal to reconstruct. And it's pretty cool that you put this business plan together with several partners. You have a foundation committee, and you send it to the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau. They must have lit up when they got that plan from you.
Well, yes and no. They thought it was a great idea, but they didn't really do anything with it. They introduced me to the Philadelphia Homecoming 250 organization, which was just then starting to gel. And that's an organization that is working to bring the Navy and Marine Corps birthday celebrations to Philadelphia. So I was invited to join the board of that as a founding board member. And the Tun Tavern, we have a cooperative relationship with them. They are also a nonprofit. Tun Tavern will be unique in that it'll be the only vestige of the 250 celebration standing after the 250 celebration is finished. So
interesting.
Or the only permanent structure after that.
So it would be really great if you could finish by November 10, birthday of the Marines, November 10 of 2025, kind of a little more than a year from now, because that's the 250 anniversary of the Marines. But we all know that 1776, 2026 will be the semi-quincentennial or the 250-year anniversary of our nation. So either way, if you get it finished in time for the Marine Corps birthday in November 10 of 2025, more likely, because things always take a little longer than you expect, if you get it in 2026, we will be so jubilant. And by the way, I would think that when the business plan went to the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau, you would probably be smart to say that you're personal friends with Billy Penn, which I know you are, so why wouldn't they love your plan? I mean, come on.
That is pretty good circumstantial evidence that he had a beer in Tun Tavern, too, because Samuel Carpenter turned out to be his treasurer for the state, for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So he and Carpenter were very close friends and business partners in a number of ventures. And so William Penn had a fondness for ale. So I'm pretty certain there's probably pretty good 95% chance that he also raised a few tankards of ale in Tun Tavern.
Well, I wouldn't have minded being a friend of Samuel Carpenter because I'm a sugar person. And if I knew that, think of all the great candy he could have made with billions of dollars of sugar. Oh my gosh. I'd love to have him as a next door neighbor.
There's also circumstantial evidence, to be quite honest. It's circumstantial, but I think it's pretty strong circumstantial evidence that Blackbeard the pirate probably visited Tun Tavern. Because we know he shopped at a store right around the corner from it. So
that's awesome.
I think there's probably pretty good. And he was in town for about a week. And he had a real fondness for rum.
I wonder if there's any information in the cemeteries in Old Philadelphia that would relate to Tun Tavern or people involved in it and that kind of thing. Let's take a little break and hear about this week's real champion, who happens to be Marine Corps Pat Daly. And now for your real champion, I call this segment Pat Daly, Semper Fi. The few, the proud, the Marines. The recruiting slogan for the U.S. Marine Corps since 1977 and considered one of the most successful ad campaigns of the 20th century. With less than 200,000 active duty members, the Marines represent a much smaller group than the Army, Navy, or Air Force. But the service commitment for Marines is at least 4 to 6 years, which is longer than some other branches. They protect our nation and its ideals by fighting on our behalf. What does that mean? It means that these brave men and women volunteer to walk through fire to defend, protect, and preserve our freedom. Their motto, Semper Fi, is Latin, which means always faithful. Marines are trained to respond quickly to threats, often the first force on the ground in conflict. stationed around the world and ready to deploy at any time with ground units and amphibious units. That means forces landing from the sea, ready for combat, or even when a hostile neighbor decides to rattle its saber. In plain language, they are our nation's watchdog. So when Pat Daly completed college with a degree in accounting, he wasn't ready to head straight to a desk job. Instead, he wanted a challenge, an adventure, and he says the Marine Corps scared him the most, and joining represented a throwing down of the gauntlet. Pat already had a great respect for his father's service in World War II with the Coast Guard, his uncle on a battleship. Another uncle served in the Korean War with the Navy, and his brother had a few close calls as a medic in Vietnam. Pat would be the first Marine in his family. And when we last spoke, he was beaming with pride because his daughter, a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, had just messaged him that she was given the high honor of being named a commander of an intelligence squad in Germany. Pat remembers those 10 weeks of officer candidate school for the Marines, a grueling experience which 42% of his classmates couldn't complete. It was the first time he had been in a group that included someone from every state in the Union, from all walks of life, some fresh out of college, others were established lawyers, musicians, even those who had already enlisted as Marines. And when you arrive at the training camp, you get off the bus and go through a very efficient process. The number of your platoon is written on the back of your hand with a marker. It's a numbers game. Every action, every day is being evaluated. Are you good enough? Tough enough? Are you strong enough, both physically and mentally? It's not enough just to show that you can lift a 70-pound weight over your head. And you're not competing for a limited number of spots. You quickly realize you're competing against yourself. And that's where Pat learned the important lesson that still drives him today: try harder. So it's easy to understand why the few who do reach this level of achievement share a special bond and come together every year on November 10 to celebrate the Marine Corps birthday in Philadelphia, where the Marine Corps was born. For over four decades, the birthday party was held at Cookie's Tavern, now called Tanky's Tavern, in South Philadelphia, where hundreds of Marines fill over three blocks of Oregon Avenue. Some 15 years ago, Pat Daly was outside in the rain, eating cake, drinking beer, when the light went on. Why not recreate the Tun Tavern? In 1775, the Tun was the birthplace of the U.S. Marine Corps, and soon after, John Adams made plans there for the U.S. Navy. It was also an important watering hole and gathering place in colonial Philadelphia for four other colonial-era nonprofit organizations that still exist today. The Freemasons were founded in 1731, St. Andrew's Society and Society of St. George in 1747, and the Friendly Sons and Daughters of St. Patrick in 1771. Plus, less than a mile from Independence Hall, it became popular among the Continental Congress as well. The Tun Tavern was raised in 1781, and the original site is now beneath the southbound lanes of I-95 between Chestnut and Walnut Streets, and the only remnant is the historical marker on Front Street near Sansom Walk. Others before Pat had discussed the idea but didn't succeed. Pat drew on his favorite mantra to try harder. He says, as Marines, we're irrationally proud that we're the only service that knows the date and place where we started. So, after several years of research and planning, he sent a business proposal to the City Convention and Visitors Bureau. The goal? To complete the project in time for the 250th birthday of the Marines on November 10, 2025. The new Tun will be two restaurants in one, along with an area containing artifacts and historical documents. The tavern will have a traditional look from the colonial period, while the larger restaurant will seat about 175 in a maritime warehouse. Pat is the founder and president of the Tun Tavern Legacy Foundation, and he's partnering with the Freemasons and the three Saints groups, St. Andrew, St. George, and St. Patrick. The beauty of this mission is twofold. By reviving the Tun Tavern, the foundation is preserving so much rich history that took place in Philadelphia, the cradle of liberty, the home of the Declaration of Independence, and the birthplace of the Marines and the Navy. Secondly, All proceeds will go toward veterans' causes and scholarships already established by the Freemasons and the Saints organizations. We salute the U.S. Marine Corps and all who serve in our military. Semper Fi. And we salute you, Pat Daly, a man of discipline, a patriot, and a Marine in the truest sense. We thank you for your service and for spearheading this incredibly important project. You are all your real champions. For more information, to donate or help, visit theton.org. That's T-U-N, theton.org.
Today's edition of Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross, can be enjoyed anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. Just download the Odyssey app and search Your Radio Doctor. It's health education on demand.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Your Radio Doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, now Saturday afternoons at 5, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC.
Welcome back to Your Radio Doctor. We are learning such interesting information, valuable information, about a project called the Tun Tavern Recreation. Pat Daly is our guest today, who's the president and founder of the Tun Tavern Legacy Foundation. The Tun Tavern existed in the 1700s, and it was a place where the Marines were born, the U.S. Navy was born, and four other nonprofit organizations, colonial organizations, the Freemasons, the Friendly Sons and Daughters of St. Patrick, the Society of St. Andrew, the St. George Society, all met there. I mean, this was a really important gathering site for so many beautiful organizations. And we're trying to recreate that. And thanks to Pat Daly, he has organized other businessmen from Philadelphia who are members of these groups. The most beautiful part of it, Pat, is that what you're going to be doing with the profits. You're going to be giving those profits back. Tell us about that, if you would.
Yeah, this project works exceptionally well, I think, on many fronts because it is a nonprofit venture. So no one's getting rich off of this. What we're doing with the proceeds, with the profits from the operations of this tavern, we will be funding veteran charities. We'll be funding things like Shriners Hospitals, all three of the Saints organizations, as we call them. You know, their original purpose was to help indigents from those countries arriving in Philadelphia with essentially no money, no job, nothing but suitcases and children in tow, and help them get started in Philadelphia. Now they basically fund scholarships for people to study in those countries or bring scholars from those countries to study in Philadelphia and fund that research. So that they are still actively doing charity work in that regard, except now they do educational charities. The Freemasons also run Shriners Hospitals, if people weren't aware of that, among other charities. They have retirement home systems as well, but it's a very old and established charity. The Navy has its own charities, as do the Marines. I'm active in the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation, which raises money for the children of Marines killed in action or severely wounded in action. So it's all for a good cause. The money we raise will be used only for those charities or other charities that an independent board deems worthwhile. But we're not starting any charities. We're merely funding those established charities with records that are well known and well vetted. And basically we see this as a fundraising machine for families with no dads and Marines with no legs and children in Shriners Hospitals and people who would want to study in other countries and can't afford it. We'll help them do that.
And I think that is the big message here. The outcome of this will be twofold: to make people aware of the rich history of the Marines, the Navy, and these other nonprofit organizations. I'm sure a lot of people don't understand that the Friendly Sons and Daughters of St. Patrick or Societies of St. Andrew or St. George, the real purpose, it's not just an affinity group where people with Irish heritage get together or British heritage. It's, as you say, it was meant to be the open arms of people emigrating from the UK in the colonial times, who came with nothing but a spare pair of socks and their children. And that has perpetuated 250 years and some longer than that, and the good work of the Freemasons. So this is not a profit-making project.
The reason the Pennsylvania Freemasons are so interested in this project is because Tun Tavern is still the first verified Masonic lodge in North America, the Tun Tavern Lodge.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's the oldest recognized lodge for the Freemasons in North America. Now, the Freemasons are not organized on a national basis. Each state is independent of the others. So there are Pennsylvania Freemasons, New Jersey Freemasons. I'm not a Freemason, but I've learned a lot about it. And our chairman is a Freemason, and a number of our board members are. So the Freemasons have been a tremendous help in getting this done. The Society of St. Andrew has also stepped up in a very big way. They were founded in Tun Tavern. So the Scots in that organization have been quite generous with their time and their treasure. And they actually have some really interesting artifacts from, they have the original menus that Ben Franklin printed for them for their fundraising dinners. They would raise funds to help indigent Scotsmen showing up here. And they still have the menus that Ben Franklin's print shop printed for them. And he attended them as well. Ben Franklin came to Tun Tavern quite often. He was a member of two organizations founded there. It's got an amazing history to it. And when George Washington was elected to lead the Continental Army against the British, they did their huzzas in what we call Independence Hall. And then they went down to Tun Tavern, Peg Mullen's Beefsteak Club, and gave his banquet dinner. And there he turned to Patrick Henry with a wine glass in his hand and said, "I fear this may be my undoing." But so his celebratory dinner was given in Tun Tavern at Peg Mullen's Beefsteak Club.
And I'm sure in that connecting area between the new tavern and then the beefsteak larger restaurant, though I'm sure the history of Tun Tavern will be explained there. And today, when we have presentations or displays of history, it's made so much more appealing, because with digital and pictures and all, I'm sure it will be done so well, especially with so many great people helping with the project. So two things. How can people get involved? Because you want people to donate their time, talent, and treasure, as with any big project. How can people get involved if they want to donate money, or if they want to spread the word to other Marines and other people?
There's a number of ways. The first and easiest is to go to our website, thetun.org. Okay. There they could buy a brick for Tun Tavern, and they'll get a framed brick that says, cool, this represents a brick actually used in the construction of the tavern. Once we sell all the bricks used to build the tavern, we will sell no more. You can also buy a memorialized brick. In the time of Tun Tavern, the alleyway that led, you remember the steps we talked about? Well, they terminated in an alleyway that went right to the Delaware River, and that was called Tun Alley. So we are recreating Tun Alley beside Tun Tavern in exact location, well, you know, in reference to the tavern where it stood. It was on the northwest corner of Tun Tavern. So we will recreate Tun Alley, and there Marines, Freemasons, any of the Saints organizations or just citizens can have a brick etched with their name on it and put down inside the Tun Alley walkway. There are a number of ways that people, you know, if there are suppliers of materials, we're taking donations for, you know, things that you would use in a modern kitchen slash, you know, large buildings, certain things, roofing materials, timbers, almost anything you could think of that would be used to reconstruct a restaurant. The reason for Peg Mullins is because we can't fit enough people in Tun Tavern to make it economically viable. So we're playing off the name of, you know, it was known as Peg Mullins Beefsteak Club, so we're recreating a separate building calling that Peg Mullins Beefsteak Club attached to the tavern. So that's the concept behind that.
And if people, again, the reference is thetun.org is your website, right. And that's where people would find out how to connect with you.
Yeah, they could buy merchandise if they want to, or just make a donation there. And on November 9th, at the Grand Masonic Temple, the big cathedral-looking place across from City Hall, we have a...
I'll say Broad and Cherry.
Yeah, it's 1 North Broad Street is the address.
Mm-hmm.
We are having a black tie fundraiser that will hopefully bring some pretty prominent Marines from Hollywood out to join the party. We're still working on the guest list. And then on the November 10th, the birthday of the Marine Corps, this year we will have the groundbreaking for Tun Tavern. And we're going to invite Marines to come, and for a small donation, they can grab an e-tool, as we call it. It's that small shovel that you often see on Marines' backpacks. And you're supposed to dig a foxhole with. It's too small of a shovel, but they'll find this funny. They can help dig the foundation for Tun Tavern.
Oh, that's outstanding.
And we'll give them a little vial of soil and a little certificate that said that they helped dig the foundation.
That's outstanding, really. Yeah. Somebody's thinking very hard.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a big block party on 2nd Street, open to the public. So
that's fantastic. So there are other historic dining establishments in Philly, like McGillan's, but that was 1860. That's the longest operating restaurant, but it's 100 years after, or longer, after Tun Tavern. And then about a year ago, A Manful of Trouble Tavern reopened. Wasn't that a pre-revolutionary drinking spot as well?
Yeah, it hasn't. I don't think it's reopened yet, but I think it's getting close to reopening. But I've toured the entire place a couple of years ago when we were first talking about this. You know, it's a very charming little building, and it's really wonderful that the University of Pennsylvania saved it. But it is really small. It's a very tiny little building. It's very quaint looking at it, but it's seen a lot of years, that's for sure.
That's the old, colonial place I had in mind.
It's the only remaining tavern from pre-revolutionary times in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's incredible. But that's where people, Four Sailors to a Mattress. I was thinking it was Tun Tavern, but it was there. The top floor.
That was common.
I guess Tun Tavern.
Yeah, that would have been common. And Tun Tavern was not a hotel. It was straw on the floor, I'm sure.
Oh, gosh. But I guess a roof over your head is better than... being on a ship in the open seas. So City Tavern, that was built, I think, when I was just finishing college, maybe in the late 70s, right? As a recreation.
Right. That was reconstructed in 1975 for the bicentennial.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an exact duplication of City Tavern, because City Tavern was originally built in 1774, I believe, or 75. Mm-hmm. It was the newest tavern in Philadelphia, and there was a Philadelphia, so the blueprints were filed with the city. So when it burned down in the mid-1800s, by the 1970s, they simply took the old drawings out and rebuilt it where it was.
Makes it a lot easier.
So that's a rebuild. Yeah, sure.
So,
but that's owned by the Park Service, and the Park Service tried to get us to take over that and put Tun Tavern there, but you can't touch the facade. And you can't just hang a sign on something and call it Tun Tavern. It's a very iconic look.
Exactly.
And we can't change that. So.
No, that would be.
And that's a huge tavern inside. It's a monstrous. Sure. It's got 3 kitchens in it. It's quite a large building.
No, I would say I'm glad you decided to pass on that offer, because the whole point of this is to recreate and feel like you're clinking glasses at Peg Mullins with too much beef and too much wine to mark November 10th every year, for goodness sake. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, our wrap-up with Pat Daly from Tun Tavern Legacy Foundation.
Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie is presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of Your Radio Doctor. A very, very special thank you to our guest, Pat Daly. Pat, we've learned so much about Philadelphia, the Marines, the Freemasons, the Saint Societies, as you say, St. George, St. Andrew, Friendly Sons of St. Patrick, Friendly Sons and Daughters, and of course, the birthplace of the Marines and the Navy, all at the Tun Tavern. This was a really significant, not a cornerstone, but the center. This was the focus of Philadelphia. It's kind of interesting when you say, when you describe it so well. You can picture the brick walkways from the river up to Front Street. And in the 1760s, am I right? It was about four blocks from beginning to end, from Front Street to 4th. 6th Street was the wilderness.
Pretty much, yeah. It was, 6th Street was not like 6th Street is today, certainly. And, you know, 8th Street, 10th Street, they were woodlands. There was actually a large pond somewhere in the vicinity of, I think, 7th and Market, and that fed Dock Creek, which is now Dock Street. That's why Dock Street has an odd lay to it.
And you say the woodlands. When I was a little girl, I lived near Woodland Avenue. And it's terrific if you really pay attention as you drive through Philadelphia. So back if there was only four blocks from beginning to end, there was no north, south, west Philadelphia. It was all right there, one big happy family. And think of what was achieved with no computers or cell phones, the mountains that people climbed to build our magnificent city. Let's talk a little bit again about how people can get involved with the Tun Tavern Legacy Foundation. I love that you said people could donate materials to help build the building. I want to hear people to hear again November 9th and November 10th, if you would.
Sure. November 9th is a black tie fundraiser at the Masonic Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania, which is that cathedral building on North Broad Street. It's open to the public. It's a magnificent building. But the point of that is to help us raise money to build this tavern, because there's no wealthy people behind this. This is a bootstrap effort by people that have committed their own money to this, myself included, and our Freemason chairman. You know, we are not wealthy people, but we put, let's just say, quite a lot of money of our own into this to get it started, and we're hoping that some, you know, Philadelphia corporations might step up, you know, defense contractors, because there will be a bronze plaque at the door permanently affixed to the wall naming, you know, those corporations who helped us reestablish this tavern. And, you know, as defense contractors go, not to be mercenary about it, but the second lieutenants and the sergeants of today will be the generals signing contracts in 20 years. So, and they'll be walking in Tun Tavern at least once a year. This is going to be a place that we already have, I think, over 1,000 Marines showing up on this November just to help us dig the foundation. So this is, in the Marine Corps, this has just exploded. It's in a magazine called Leatherneck that all Marines get. It just came out today. It's been there for two editions. I was at a Marine Corps convention down in D.C., and you'd have thought I was the second coming of Christ or something. People are shaking my hand saying, "You're doing God's work. Aww. Thank God for this." So
you are. Nah, you are, just, because the pride and the brotherhood and the sisterhood, being involved with such wonderful people. I said it earlier, people who electively sign up to walk through fire for their countrymen to keep us free and to protect us. And you spent your time, you are a champion, so people who heard the real champion today learned that during your time in the Marines, you may not have been in an actual shooting war, but you were in Japan and the Philippines, And your next door neighbors were not warm and fuzzy like North Korea and Russia, etc.
Yeah, it was always run-ins.
You're in danger every single day.
Run-ins with North Koreans and Russians and Chinese.
They don't want to eat beef and clink wine and glasses at Tun Tavern. They look at life differently. And so Leatherneck is a journal that all Marines, we want Marines to know about this, because November 9, black tie at the Freemasons Temple at Broad and Cherry in Philly, right near City Hall. TheTun.org is where all this great information, if people want to contact you and donate time, talent, money. And lastly, November 10, awesome. It's going to be groundbreaking. And Marines can come and for a small donation can take their little symbolic or their emblematic shovel that they all get to dig a trench, right?
Right.
And get a little sample of the dirt as a souvenir. Fantastic. Pat, you are a mega superstar.
Just another Marine trying to get something done. That's all. You get tired of waiting for someone else to do it.
And as you say, there you go. And as you say, your whole motto is try harder, keep trying. So God bless you. You are doing God's work. And thank you for being our guest today. My friends, thetun.org. Tun is T-U-N, not T-O-N. TheTun, T-U-N.org. Thank you, Pat, so much. I want to stay in touch with you to keep hearing about your progress.
Thank you.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
And thank you for serving. Thank you for listening to Your Radio Doctor every Saturday at 5 p.m. here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Listen to this show again or any of our shows on audacy.com, AUDACY.com. Thanks to our exclusive sponsor, Independence Blue Cross, and for our association with Helio.com, the medical information platform with the most current medical and health news. The Marines teach us valuable lessons about discipline, focus, and loyalty to our country and our fellow countrymen. Let the Marines remind you that these qualities are essential to your good health and well-being. July is bringing blistering heat, so hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Check on elderly family members and neighbors. Lots of sunscreen on yourself and constantly reapply to your little ones who go in and out of the pool or ocean. More than ever, please remember to pray for peace in our world, in our country, in our families, and each of our own hearts. This is your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, wishing you a happy, healthy, and safe week with the ones you love. Always here to remind you that your health is your wealth.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross. To contact Dr. Marianne and to listen to today's show as well as past shows, visit YourRadioDoctor.com. This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Your Radio Doctor and their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.